WNTN Radio Boston, welcome back to Italieco. This is your host, Viviana Dragani, and today my guest is Benjamin Spearman, General Director of Bronx Opera. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. So please tell us about this opera company that has its 55th anniversary this year, and tell us about your work with it.
Well, the Bronx Opera was founded in 1967 and is the only company that's produced opera in New York City every year since then, except for the Met. We were founded actually by my parents, my father, Michael Spearman, my mother, Helene, and several of their colleagues back then. And my father is still our music director and artistic director and principal conductor. And for me, I came to the company really kind of by birth and by genetics on some levels. And I went to school for theater and for acting, but then started to direct myself. And I also worked as an arts administrator, as a grants administrator, actually, with the Bronx Council on the Arts. And all of that interest and plus an interest in singing and the music really brought me to not only to stage directing, as I mentioned, but also to the arts administration side. And over the years, it's developed into me being brought on as the general director of the company, really running the company as the lead manager of the company for the last few years during the pandemic and going forward.
Thank you, Ben. And you are also an accomplished stage director, and you just directed a production of Mozart's La Clemenza di Tito for Bronx Opera. The title character of this opera is based on the Roman Emperor Titus Vespasianus, and in your directorial concept, you brought out some powerful connections to today's times. Tell us about that.
Well, I think that there are many aspects of the story of Clemenza di Tito that really resonate for today. For one, I think that the merciful attitude and actions of the title character, Tito, resonated for me thinking about today's times, because I think that mercy and kindness from people in power to those, you know, I guess you'd say, that work with them or are, you know, underneath them in terms of status, it's the mercy is really hard to come by these days. And I think it's this piece tells the story of someone in power who uses that power ultimately to commute the sentences of those who attack him, and who is willing to risk, as I write in my English translation, being judged too kind and not too vicious. He's willing to take the risk in order to bring mercy to his society, as opposed to bringing anger and division to the people. So I think that's one thing that really resonated with me. In addition, the fact that there is one of the aspects of the plot of Tito, or I should say of the sort of the underpinnings of the plot, is that there's a disaster that the society is dealing with. In the original script, the disaster is the eruption of Vesuvius in 79 AD. In our production, in our updated production, the disaster is COVID. And I guess now you could even say, too, that the war in Ukraine, but particularly the disaster that the society is dealing with and trying to come back from and re-stabilize after, is the COVID pandemic. And there's a little bit of that in the script as well. But generally speaking, it's a matter of a leader in the title character of Tito that looks at what's going on, and instead of turning in and emphasizing the mercilessness and the anger that he could feel, he emphasizes mercy, and the characters are able to move on with their lives without having been, you know, well, in this case, executed, but in general, without having just been smacked down by the leadership and ending up without anything. Everybody has to work towards a better future, but we can do it better together than we can if some people have been punished incredibly severely. So I think that's an important thing to emphasize today.
Absolutely. Very interesting. Thank you. And as we well know from history, not all Roman emperors were enlightened and merciful, but there were some extraordinary ones like Marcus Aurelius, for example, and this Tito. Aside from wisdom and compassion, what do you think made these Roman emperors so remarkable, and what might today's leaders learn from them?
Well, I think I'm reminded of a maxim that was, I think, either created or emphasized by a wonderful American historical author named Robert Caro. And in his books, one of which is The Power Broker, which is about Robert Moses, who basically built New York City as we know it, and several volumes of a Lyndon Johnson biography, which he's still working on, he brings to light this idea that we've all heard, that power, absolute power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But the thing that the idea that Caro brings to light in his books is that what power always does is reveal. It may not always corrupt, but it always reveals the true nature of the person who has the power. And I think that these Roman emperors often had pretty absolute power over the populace. And the question was how they used it. The question was whether or not they used their power to just, you know, enrich themselves and, you know, ruin their enemies or even kill their enemies and make war. And we're seeing that obviously in the world now with Russia, I think. But like what power does do is it reveals. And in some cases, in some rare, wonderful cases, it reveals that the power, that the person who's been given the power uses it to try to create a more merciful, a better, a fairer world, or in the case of these particular political, the people holding political or governmental power, that they're trying to use it to create a fairer nation for them, for their people, the people that they rule. And I think that one of the wonderful things that the Tito that we talk about in the Mozart opera and in the libretto, and obviously Marcus Aurelius and others, is that you see that that when they're given power, they, even when they have a chance to use it in a vengeful way to avenge, you know, an attempt on their own person, their own life, they ultimately choose to defuse and choose kindness and mercy over revenge and anger and violence and death. So I think what I really think of when I think of Tito, and again, especially related to today's world, is that if you're given power, the question becomes what you do with it. And you do have a choice. You can be vengeful, but you also can be merciful. And I think that one of the things that this plot really underlines is that mercy and kindness is the better way.
Thank you, Ben. What is next for you in your career as a stage director?
Well, it's an incredibly busy fall and into the winter. I'm working on three world premieres of different types, and a children's version of The Magic Flute, and then Bronx Opera is in all probability producing our first production of Poulenc's Dialogues, The Carmelites, coming up in early 23. The premieres are first the first stage production of an opera started by Mark Blitzstein and completed by Leonard Lehrman, which is called Sacco and Vanzetti, about the well-known case of the two Italian-American anarchists in the U.S. in the 19-teens into the 20s. Mm-hmm. Then going upstate to Oswego, New York, way in upstate New York, north of Syracuse, to direct an opera called The Golden Cage, which was written by a composer who was interned in the only camp for Jews attempting to emigrate to the U.S. that existed on American soil. This camp was called Fort Ontario, and this composer, Charles Abeles, wrote The Golden Cage to dramatize the emotions of himself and his fellow really inmates at this camp where Jews were held, Jews who had emigrated from Italy but wanted to fully immigrate to the U.S. but were not allowed to immediately, where these Jews were kept. And this opera really dramatizes their emotions and what happened to them and how they felt about their journey from coming from Italy to the U.S. and then being held in this camp for 2 years, or almost 2 years, before President Truman allowed them to emigrate into the U.S. And then in October, I'll be directing the world premiere of Andrew Eger's opera Dracula, about the vampire. And that will be with new Opera Lyra Ottawa in the capital of Canada. This will be my first international production. So it's a really busy fall and a really busy winter. I'm looking forward to it.
Great, great. And how can our listeners find out more about Bronx Opera?
You can look at our website, which is bronxopera.org, www.bronxopera.org. And you can also email us at bronxopera@gmail.com. And those are probably the two best ways to get info on us. If you email us, you can also look us up on Facebook and message us on Facebook as well. We're also on Twitter and we're also on Instagram. And on Twitter and Instagram, we are at Bronx Opera.
Terrific.
One word.
Terrific. And you also have a website, right?
We do, yeah. www.bronxopera.org.
I mean, as Benjamin Spearman.
Yeah, I do. BenjaminSpearman.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much, Viviana.